Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Notice back at verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. I have preached many times about the need to be delivered, about the adamant refusal to live bound by the chains of sin. But tonight, if God would help me, I want to endeavor to take a new or different approach. And for the next few moments, I want to tell you the story of the unchained bound man. The unchained bound man. Amen. Let's ask God to speak tonight. Would you lift your voice with me? Let's pray. Ask for the help of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, we love you so much tonight. We give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. God bless you. May be seated. If I could have just a touch more monitor, brother, it helped me a long ways tonight. I appreciate that. By the time that we are introduced to this man, Jesus has begun his earthly ministry. The disciples have been chosen, and the Lord's fame has quickly spread abroad. He's already healed many. He's cast out many tormenting devils. And he even went as far as to tell one man that his sins had been forgiven. And the needs and the desires of the people are so great that the crowd is literally pressing upon him. And whatever he does, they want to be right there. Wherever he goes, they want to follow him. And so one day, after teaching a few parables, Jesus and his disciples enter a boat, and they were to enter into the country of the Gadarenes. For Jesus had an appointment with what I'm calling tonight an unchained bound man. Jesus steps off the ship, out of the tombs, out of a place of death. I don't know what it was today, but driving in, I passed a cemetery, and I've passed hundreds of cemeteries in my lifetime, but for some reason today, I looked at that cemetery, and it was really isolated. There was nobody there. Obviously, no signs of life. No pun intended, but I thought it's just a dark, lonely, dismal place. And that's where this man was living. Amen. I want to tell you, sin don't take you to the top. Sin's going to always take you to the bottom. Amen. And so this beast of a man, he runs out to meet Jesus Christ. Now, this man was a man who was marred with the scars of this world. He was a man that others had endeavored to tame or endeavored to bind with chains and to bind him with fetters. And the reason they wanted to bind him was because they wanted to restrict his movements. They wanted to restrict his actions. And the fetters were placed around his feet because they wanted to restrict where he went. Amen. And I would not suppose that they were meant to be a means of punishment, but rather they were a means of safety. Y'all with me tonight? Amen. Safety for himself. Safety for those that he would come in contact with. No doubt somewhere there were some concerned people. People that did not trust this beast of a man. People that understood that this man was clearly not thinking right. He was not seeing things right. Somewhere somebody had to understand that this man was under the influence of another spirit. And that spirit was giving this man the desire and the means to break free from these safety measures, to break free from these restrictive chains. Amen. These measures that were placed in their life and his life to keep him out of harm's way. Amen. There was something in this man. His mindset was, get these chains off of my body. I'm going to live any way I want to live. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. There's nobody going to tell me I can't live the way I want to live. Doesn't that sound like the mantra of this modern day generation? Amen. We've got high school kids acting like fools tonight. Amen. Because they're puppets on a string and they're backed by a spirit of rebellion that nobody's going to tell me what I can and cannot do. Nobody's going to bind me with chains of restrictions. And there's a man that no man could bind him. He was under the authority of no supernatural power, subject to no one. No chains in my life. No fetters in my life. No boundary lines in my life. No safety chains in my life. Let me do what I want to do. Let me live the way I want to live. Let me be the person I want to be.
And be honest with you, the sad truth is that this reminds me of so many young people I've preached to throughout the years. It reminds me of those who've quit pursuing, amen, the things of God. For when it comes to church, all they see are the restrictions. All they see is this list of do's and don'ts and have to's and can't be possible. Rather than seeing, amen, a means of safety. Amen. They dream of the day where someday I won't be under my mom and daddy's roof and someday I can do what I want to do. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. They don't have an appreciation for the wisdom of godly parents, and they don't appreciate the vision of the watchman on the wall. And all they see is this controlling, restrictive force in their life that's telling them, amen, you can't do the things you want to do. And they're telling them that we know best, and there's a war going on between amen, a young person and their parents, or a young person and the pulpit, and there is a great opposition, a great warfare going on, because there's a man, a woman that says, I want to live the way I want to live.
Amen. And so one day the opportunity arises to disobey. And when they do, they feel that safety chain begin to slip off. And there's now some movement Now there's a lack of restriction. Now there's a human will that's taking pleasure in lustful things. Amen. There's an internet that's unrestricted. There's internet that's unguarded, and you have free course to get on the websites that you really want to, but you know you're not supposed to be on. Amen. There's a text that goes forth. Maybe there's a Snapchat or something of that nature that passes between you and someone else that you would die if your pastor read that or saw that. There's a song that's been downloaded to your device, and there's a worldly music station that you're listening to, and now, amen, you would die if your mom and dad knew, and you would die if your pastor knew. Amen. Because amen, there's some songs that feed the lusting of your flesh, and they don't promote godly mindsets, and they don't promote a godly thought pattern, but feeds the lusting of your flesh. Amen. And you know you shouldn't, and you know you're wrong, but you see, you got away with it.
There's a picture that's sent that shouldn't be sent. There's one received that should have never been received. Secret clothes hidden away that mom and dad don't know about. A secret friendship, a relationship that's ignited. You're out with your friends and mom and dad's not around. They're out of town. The pastor's not there. And so they want to sneak into a movie somewhere, or to a dance hall somewhere, or some place of ill repute, and there's nobody there to tell you no, you can't do it, and you've got this freedom now, and you can finally live the way you want to live. I mean, you fill the blank in tonight. You know the scenario, and all you hear is the sound of chains falling around your feet, and there's that lustful thrill, amen, that now you're free. Amen. It's no big deal. Your parents don't know. Your pastor don't know. And really, they just don't understand my generation. They're just being too hard. They're just being too strict. What's the harm in just stepping out and tasting the things of the world? I'm not going too far. I'll just come right back.
But if somehow tonight God would pull back the curtain and show you what's really going on. And you may think that you're trading restrictive chains for freedom, but if you could understand, amen, what you're yielding yourself to. I was a little quieter tonight, but this is all right. If you could understand what you're opening the door to a demonic world that you're not able to handle, to evil influences you don't need in your life. If you could understand that it's not a matter of just breaking a rule, but you're yielding yourself to a world that does not have your best interest at heart, that you're bowing to an altar you don't want to be at, and you're trading spiritual chains from the church to spiritual chains of bondage from the world.
Amen. I don't know if I've shared the story. I can't remember if I did it here. I know I did it at the youth rally the other night. And if I did, allow me to repeat myself if you don't mind. But I remember the night I got the phone call. Amen. Did I tell you about the phone call I got from the backslid preacher? No? Okay, maybe I didn't. Amen. I remember the middle of the night my phone rang. This was back in 2000. And six, and the phone rang, and on the other side of the other line was a Baxton young man I went to Bible college with, and he was telling me, I need you to pray for me. I'm in a bad mess. You got to pray for me. I said, what's going on? He said, we were listening to some rock music. He said, this wasn't just your on the shelf normal rock music. He said, this was the worst of the worst. He said, this was the real thing. king. This wasn't some Marilyn Manson wannabe. He said, this was the bad stuff. I don't know what was going on in that party. He said, but I looked up at one point. I saw demons going around the room. Everywhere I looked, demons were circling my head. He said, I went to the bathroom. I hung my head over the toilet. And I said, God, if you let me live through this night, I know who I can call to pray for me. I'm telling somebody, it's more than breaking a rule somewhere. You're saying, all right, world, I submit. You're saying, all right, devil, I yield to yourself and your power. And you can't go there, and you can't do that and not suffer the pain. Got to drive this point in tonight. And I've got to make something clear that I wish to God somebody would have made clear to me. Hey man, it's more than breaking a rule. You're opening the door to a world that will chew you up and spit you out. It's not just breaking a rule. It's bowing at an altar you can't afford to bow in. It's more than stepping out and taking the world. You're yielding yourself to a devil that will afflict you and bind you and destroy you. Just lift your hands and love the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's pray for just a moment. I need you, Holy Ghost. I need you in a bad way tonight, God. Come on. Oh God, remove the scales from somebody's eyes tonight in the name of Jesus. We'll say this and go on, but I hate when I'm traveling. I don't know radio stations in different cities, and so a lot of times I get bored, and especially late at night, and I just hit that seek button and just, you know, look for something to listen to or something like that. And I hate doing that sometimes because, you know, sometimes the arm gets tired and I put it on scan. And scan takes a couple seconds, you know, and I hate doing that because a lot of times they'll go by a radio station. There'll be a song that they play. It takes me back to a day when I wasn't living for God. And I'm telling you what, there's a spirit behind that. Oh God, help me make this plain tonight. It's more than just a little song that doesn't edify Christ. But behind that lyric and behind that beat, behind the birth of that song is a red hot hell and a real mean devil. And with that song comes a bad hand trying to grab you and suck you in. And don't tell me you can go to heaven if you feast on the filth and the junk of the world. Don't tell me that you're heaven bound and you're feasting daily on the trash of the society. Well, some of y'all are not even saying amen. I wonder if I'm preaching to everybody tonight. You say, well, you folks are too strict. There's some things you got to take a stand against. Well, they don't preach like that down the road. Then, honey, they're not going to be saved. Only holy men and holy women will go to heaven. Well, I'm fighting something tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I got to be holy like he's holy. I got to be holy to be saved. How in the name of common sense can anybody listen to the modern day rap of this generation? It's so filled with such hatred and rebellion and perversion. It is so demonic. There was a day when rock music was so demonic. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't no more demonic than the trash of the hip hop age and this rap junk. Amen. And the, oh God. This world's so upset about guns in the hands of teenagers. What about the rock music and the rap music and the video games that promote drugs and sex and violence? Hey, the problem is there's a devil that owns and possesses this generation. And they're screaming, get the chains off me. And they won't submit to the dad or the mother or the police. They're in rebellion. We can bring that same mindset in the church, that same rebellious attitude that can't nobody tell me how to live my life. You just remember you said that. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Nobody gonna tell me how to live my life. I hate to tell you, that's not true. I don't care how big and bad you think you are. Somebody's always gonna be telling you what to do. This book says you will serve something. In fact, in Romans 6, the Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. If you obey the devil, you're his servant. If you obey God, you're his servant. He said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of obedience, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I traded filthy chains from the world for loving chains of mercy. I'm not bound by alcohol. I'm not bound by drugs. I'm not bound by sexual perversion. I'm bound by love to a great master, to the great God of heaven. I'm bound, but I'm bound by bonds of love. He says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That word free there means unrestrained, to go at your pleasure. What he's saying there is, he said, when you were serving sin, you could do whatever you wanted to do. There wasn't a pastor in your life. That wasn't an evangelist. That wasn't a youth leader. That wasn't a strict mom and dad. You are free from all that. You are free from spiritual authority. You are free from godly counsel. Amen. But he asked the question, what fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What he was saying is, you are free from righteousness, but how'd you like that lifestyle? You had no pastor, but you were bound and addicted by perversion and by drugs and by booze and immorality. You are free from the church, but bound by your dance hall. Free from a man of God, but bound by peer pressure. Bound by chains of sin. How did you like that lifestyle? I'm free. Oh man, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I gotta get a cigarette. I ain't smoked one in 3 minutes. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I gotta get something to take care of this hangover. Give me another drink over here. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I guess I gotta dress like them because that's the way my friends dress. If they pierce it, I've gotta pierce it. If they do that, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. You're not free. You're bound. Hey, but he that the Son is set free is free indeed. No more chains of bondage. No more chains of sinful shame. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. All my sins have been washed away. Well, I couldn't live like that. I just couldn't live like that. Well, you know why you're saying that? Because you're a servant of sin. Hell's warped your brain. Hell's confused your mind. Well, I just don't see a problem with this. Let me give somebody some good advice right now. Quit making your lifestyle interpret the word of God. And start letting the word of God interpret your lifestyle. Well, I just don't believe that this is wrong. Well, I hate to tell you, but kind of like God asked Job, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Well, I just don't think this is necessary. Who are you again? I just think you can do this and still go to heaven. Have you even read the Bible? The problem is we've got this little corner of sinful play toys over here, and we're trying to incorporate religion and God and have all this stuff too. And you know what? That's what the Catholics are doing. That's what the Baptists are doing. That's what this world's doing. They're saying, you know what? We won't mess with your sinful pleasures over there. Amen. We don't preach against immorality anymore. We don't preach against premarital sex anymore. We just preach about love and grace and mercy and the goodness of God. And we ain't going to mess with your lifestyle. That's not a safe place to be in. Amen. But thank God for a church of holiness that still preaches the whole counsel of God. You gotta be holy as He is holy, and come out and be separate.
The real battle today. I'm preaching to this generation. The real battle of today is unlimited access through technology, the internet, social media. My wife found a stat. I think this was, might have been 2 years ago now. Helping the girl, one of the girls with a report or something, they said the average person, you're not going to believe this, but the average person a day spends 9 hours a day on some form of media use, internet, television, 9 hours a day. 9 hours a day. It's taking the battle between lustful flesh and the will of God to a whole nother level. Young people are now being exposed to a vile world like never before. Being alone with a boyfriend or a girlfriend has never been easier. Being caught up with Hollywood has never been easier. And it scares me to death to think we've got young people that can run, shout, sing, dance, talk in tongues, and all of that, but can't name you half the 12 disciples, but can name you all the Kardashians family members. They could tell you who's the latest Hollywood couple. Why? Because it's right there. The access is right there, and that takes up so much of our time. Access to lust-feeding mediums like pornography, like soft pornography. YouTube clips and movies have never been more available. There's no need to sneak into a godforsaken movie theater. You can watch it on your phone. You can rent it, download it. I don't even know how Netflix and all that works. I've still got my testimony. Amen. But no need to sneak a television to your room or sneak off to a ball game. Amen. No need to physically hang out with the wrong crowd. You can do it on your phone. It's on your technology devices. Now you can flirt with boys and girls the way you normally would not, because it's not face to face. It's through a text. Now you can talk to a married man or a married woman that you never would have before. And technology has bridged the gap between innocent, bashful young people and a world that you need no part of. My burden tonight is that we have somehow been fooled, we've been tricked, we've been duped into thinking it's a simple matter of breaking a set rule or standard. That the repercussions from such actions are momentary and there are no long-term effects. There's a study that Rush Limbaugh spoke about this week, and it's in connection. Everyone's talking about the shooting in Parkland, Florida. But he found a study, and I want to go back and get it and find it, where the teenage brain is so undeveloped until a certain age. And because it's so undeveloped, they don't have the ability to make the best decisions. They can't cope. They don't see the whole thing. They don't look down the road. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, gave you a parent, a pastor, a church family to help you do what you cannot do yourself. I'm not trying to dumb you down. I'm talking about life's facts tonight. Amen. I'm talking about God put people in your life that can see what you can't see and comprehend what you don't understand. I'm not going to get all into it. I don't want to. I've debated whether to say anything or not tonight. But this deal in Parkland, Florida. Amen. That young man's not alone. In fact, Rush Limbaugh said the next gun's already been bought. The next kid's already got the game plan. And you think you're safe. I've got my kids in a private apostolic Christian school. And today, 15 cops surrounded a young man. He threatened to murder my daughter. He threatened to murder the whole school. How do you get there? How are you raised on a one God, Jesus name pew? And I'm on the road up here where my daughter's sitting in the detective's office giving a sworn statement on video. And what really gets me, and it's the only reason I bring this up tonight, is because how can a young man not see down the road that he's going to destroy the rest of his life? You know what he said? I wanted to be famous. I wanted people to talk about me. AKA, I wanted attention. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling you, young man, young lady, the worst thing you can do is have an attention deficit fit and go out and try to get the attention of people that does not count in your life and it does not matter. I need the favor of God, not the favor of men. The attention of God, not of my fellow man. But it bothers me to think that there are young people that think they've got all the answers. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. They think they've got all the answers. They've got it all figured out. And you know what you are? You're like seeing a brick wall. And you can't see past the wall. And I'm preaching night after night after night, trying to warn you. I know what's on the other side of that wall. But you're like, no. I don't trust you. I don't believe it. I've got all the answers. I've got it all figured out. And I'm telling you, you ain't got it all figured out because your brain is not developed enough. And you can't see. And that's the other thing I felt when I went by that cemetery. I didn't know I was going to preach tonight. I really didn't know. But I went by that cemetery. I thought about death. I thought about eternity, and I began to pray for my own kids. God, somehow,
let them do what you did for me somewhere along the road, God, and give them an understanding of just how long eternity is. And I'm preaching to some young people tonight, and you hear me as I beg you tonight, before you go out and you ruin your life and you throw it all away, understand that on the other side of that lustful action is a devil saying, now I own your mind, I own your heart, I own your emotions, and I'm going to drag you down to a red hot devil's hell. There's not one young lady worth going to hell over. There's not one young man worth going to hell over. There's not one drug, not one party, not one scene, not one thing worth going to hell over. And you say, well, I can still come back. Don't you bet on that. I can still taste that world and come back. If you say that tonight, then you're who I'm preaching to, because you think it's like breaking the speed limit. I'll get my ticket. I'll pay the fine. I'll do whatever, and I'll go on about my day. That's not how it works this way. When you go, oh God, when you get on that, and we got to talk about it, church, because it's where we're at today. But when you get on that website and you open that website and you expose yourself to that vile, creepy world, you hear this preacher, amen. They don't just become child whoremongers overnight. Somewhere the soft pornography wasn't good enough, and somewhere the real wasn't good enough, and somewhere the strange wasn't good enough, and hell just kept dragging them down and dragging them down and dragging them down. You say, I'll never do that. I'll never yield to homosexuality. I'll never yield to child molestation. Really? You don't. Listen to me. You don't have a say in the matter. Am I making sense tonight? I'm trying to get this burden off of me tonight. And the longer I preach, the heavier it's getting tonight. You say, I'd never do that. You better ask your master first. And because your master's going to decide how far in sin you go. Because he owned you. He's wrapped you up in chains. And while you thought I'm getting free, you weren't getting free. You were trading chains of love for chains of despair. I'm trying to beg somebody. Don't flirt with the world. Don't touch it. Don't take it. Don't handle it. Leave it alone. Let's pray. God, let's pray. Let's pray. Come on. You can't see the long-term effects, but you hear me. Hear me, Esau. Look down the road. Look down the road, Esau. Don't trade it all away. It scares me to death to think the most vile man there's ever been. You can be seated if you want. I'm almost through. Pastor, it bothers me. It scares me to death that the most vile man that's ever been, this man they call Legion, he was somebody's baby boy. I sat in church Tuesday night and looked across the aisle at a young couple that just had their first child, and they got that bouncing baby girl there. And man, she's so sweet and so cute and just that healthy fat, man. She just want to pinch her. And she's got the potential of being the filthiest woman alive. It scares me to think that these people, these filthy, vile, whoremongering, murdering people,
You go visit the worst prison, go down death row. Every one of them men were an innocent little baby somewhere. But they begin to yield to a spirit. And that spirit said, I'm not done. And there's people, and I'm not trying to bring up too much past, but there's people sitting on these pews right now that you live with the scars of your past every day. There's people sitting here right now while I'm preaching that could say, if I could go back and do things over again, I would change so many things. I promise you, there are adults sitting right here right now that would love to get inside somebody's head and get in your face and scream, what do you think you're doing? Would you please wake up? Why are you flirting with that? Why do you still have that contact in your phone? Why do you go to that website? Why do you flirt with that? You know it's going to lead. What are you doing? You're yielding yourself to the wrong spirit. Years ago, Sister Reed, help me please. I'm closing. Thank you. Many years ago, it was a letter left on the pew of an apostolic church. Somebody found the letter. They gave me a copy of it. It was a letter written by a teenage girl in the middle of church. She left this letter on the pew for someone to find. And they did find it. And I won't read all the letter tonight, but I'm going to paraphrase what she said. She said, I don't believe some of the stuff that goes on around here. She was going to name a few things and try to disprove it. But she was leaving. No chains. No. No fetters going to keep me back. But these were her parting words that have chilled me for years. She said, but if there is a hell, I'm going. So why not go in style? How do you get there? How do you get to that point in life? What have you found out there that's worth an eternity in hell? You listen to me. You sit there and say, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. Let me tell you something, honey. God's already given the word. You disobey the word, you're sending yourself to hell. God's not going to go back on this now.
So, but he's a God of love and grace and mercy. Yeah, he sure is. But he also said, I am God and I change not. And he's the same God of the Old Testament that wouldn't put up with people's sins. And yeah, there's love and grace and mercy, but he hates it just as much tonight as he did with Korah's rebellious age. Amen. I want you to know, friend, he's a loving God. That's why you've got the blood. That's why you've got church. That's why I'm preaching tonight in love tonight, because God loves you. But if you reject the word of God, then you damn your own soul to hell.
It boggles my mind to think somebody would literally say, but if there is a hell, I'm going. So why not go in style? And what you're saying is, Pastor, I know what you stand for, but I'm not going to live so suppressed by this church's rules and regulations. I don't want these fetters on my feet. I'm going to go see what this world's all about.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you trust the world and don't trust the church? The world says, come on, man, it's going to be fun. Have a good time. Man, they paint their pictures. They've got their advertisements. Man, they paint a wonderful, wonderful time. That's what somebody says. The problem right now with social media is everybody's posting this perfect little world that they have. And it's all a sham. They post one segment of their day. And it's like, man, we live on a yacht in the Caribbean and we have no bills and no worries and we've got this perfect life.
That's so much hypocrisy and all that. But they're trying to paint that they've got some perfect life.
and you see that, and you're like, I want that life. I want that. I want that high. I want that joy. I want all of that. And you believe the world. The world says, come on. Come on. Man, we'll accept you. Man, we'll give you everything you want. You'll believe that. You won't believe somebody that's looking in you eyeball to eyeball that says, it's a lie. I've been there. I know it leaves you empty. You think I'm lying? Tell you what. Probably don't know if I should say this or not, but read. Get your parents to help you. Read an account of someone that was hooked on drugs and tasted the depths of sin. And see what kind of life they had. Read the life story of some of these call girls and hear the trashy life they live. These same people that said, come on out to Moab. Come on to Moab. Go find that honest Moabite that says, I'll tell you what Moab's really all about. And then make your decision. I'm telling you, I thank God for the church tonight. I think I've got a little bit better understanding why we even fight hell so much in this service tonight, because hell doesn't want to let go of somebody. Hell's got his claws in somebody's brain, somebody's spirit. And you're like Esau. Your eyes are so glazed over by the lies of hell, you can't even see straight. But I'm praying the anointing of God would break the yoke on somebody's back tonight, and you'd realize that this preacher knows what he's talking about. I've seen way too many go down that road. They've got nothing but scars to show today. I've preached to too many young people that's in hell tonight. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about tonight. I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling somebody, you better yield at the altar. You better yield to the Holy Ghost. And you better go home. You better clean your life up. You better get some things. You better get honest with your mom and dad. I want to say this. We've got to learn to communicate. We got to open up. If you're struggling, you're not a sinner because you struggle. If you fall down, you're not odd. You're normal. You're going to make mistakes. And you're going to have feelings. You're going to have sexual desires. You have thoughts that come in you that don't mean that you're a dirty person. You're normal. It's the way God made you. You get to learn how to harness all that. For somebody to preach to me what I'm preaching tonight. What I'm giving you tonight is worth more than $1 million. If I could save you from the scars of Moab, you, dear God, one day you'll wake up and say, thank God for the message, and thank God for that revival, and thank God for my pastor, and thank God for my church. It saved me a lot of heartache and shame. But you got to learn to go to your mom and dad. You got to learn to go to your pastor, your pastor's wife, and say, I need to talk. Kind of open up. Please, I really didn't mean to talk about all this tonight. But I got a friend, good, very, very good friend, who's in my wedding. And he's a Christian counselor, and he works for the state, and he dealt with two of these school threat shootings and that kind of stuff. And I said, Brian, you got to talk to my daughter. She's living in fear. She's so messed up in her head today. And he talked to her. And you know what? I want her to open up and communicate. You got to talk and get it out. You can't, oh God, I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost tonight. You can't just sit there and bottle all this stuff in. It's a cancer that eats on your soul. I'm not going to talk to my dad. I'm not going to talk to my mom. I'm not going to talk to my pastor or his wife. I'm just going to, I've got it all figured out. No, you don't. No, you don't. Hey, what you're about to do, you're on the edge of a cliff. You've got one foot out. And you're talking like, yeah, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to live back here. I'm all right. But you don't realize you're right here. And that's nothing but doom and destruction, despair. When you think you got it all figured out, you don't. You young men better learn to open up and talk. Young ladies, you better open your mouth and talk. When you fail God, you better talk. Now, I don't mean every time that little son, you know what I'm talking about. You're smart tonight. You know what I'm talking about. You're bright. You're intelligent. When you really have some major problems, you better talk to somebody. And you better do, again, I'm sorry, excuse the personal references. You better do what I'm trying to teach my kids. Don't run from it. Run to an altar. Get your face in the floor and you got to pray, God help me, God help me, God help me. I want to be like Gad. Amen. Israel said, Gad, a troop's going to overtake you at first, but in the end, you'll be an overcomer. Gad, don't ever quit the altar. Don't leave the altar. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall and make mistakes, but just run back to church. Run back to the altar and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. Let's stand and pray right now. Come on, would you lift your hands? Hallelujah. 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 Let me say this and we're going to come pray. John said, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. They were deceived. There's people going to hell because they're deceived. I don't mean to get on politics tonight, but let me tell you, these kids that are marching and chanting, and we don't want politics. We just want the guns out. We don't want politics. We don't want politics. And yet the thing they're attacking is the biggest political arm, the NRA. It ain't politics, but they're attacking that. And they're acting like fools because they're deceived. That's just what hell will do to every one of us tonight. You'll have us so narrow-minded. We've got it all figured out, and we don't even realize. You hear me in the Holy Ghost? We don't even realize we're bowing at the altar of demonic worship and influence. You leave this place tonight, I just want you to understand, whether you pray or you don't pray, all I care about is you have this one understanding. It's not just breaking a rule. You're opening the door of your spirit to another spirit. And that spirit comes in. He's not giving up easy. He's going to destroy you. That's why I've got to pray the psalmist prayer in Psalm 51. I got to get it all out. I got to weep and cry and get it all out. And then I got to say, God, fill my cup. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Don't let this demonic age take residence in my spirit, God. I've got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Sing, please, Sister Reed. Come on, young people. I want all the young people to step out right now and come around this altar. I don't want one young person left in the pew. I want all of you around this altar right now. Come on. Come on, all you young men, all you young ladies. Nobody left in the pew. I want everybody. Come on. Come on. I want you to lift your voice and pray right now. God, help me. God, help me. God. Come on, that's it. I want to be holy. I want to be holy.
Holy like you.
I want to be holy, God.
I want to be holy.
I know you're fighting a battle, young men. But this is your answer tonight. Don't leave the altar. I know, young ladies, you're fighting a terrible battle. I know you're fighting with self-image and trying to find your place. But this is your strength. Don't leave the altar. Don't quit the church. Don't ignore the cries of your pastor. Hear the word of God. Walk close with the Lord and you can make it. Don't let hell deceive you. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Come on, you gotta want it. That's it, young men. That's it, young men. That's it, young ladies. Pray, pray, lift your voice. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Don't let Moab scar my life.
I want to be holy, holy like you.
That's it, come on. If you've made mistakes, come to the altar. Give it to Jesus. Let him restore you. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on. Come on, you can make it. Young lady, you can make it. You can make it.
Holy Spirit, purify me.
Oh, cleanse
and make me new. Wanna be holy.
Come on, that's it, young men.
Holy.
Lay aside the weights. Lay aside the sin.
I wanna be holy. Holy like you. Wanna be holy. Holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me. Cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy. Holy like
you. That's it. Go ahead, young lady. Let the tears run down your face. That's not weakness. That's strength. Come on. For when I'm weak, he's made strong. That's it. Tell him. Tell him. I need you, God. I'm fighting a battle. And I can't lose it. I can't lose the war. I need your help, God. I need your help.
Holy Spirit, purify me.
Some of you know too much. You've been too far. Come on. Sell out to Jesus.
Holy like you. I wanna be holy.
Oh, that's it, young men.
Like you.
That's it. Go ahead, young men.
Wanna be holy, holy like you.
There's strength in that. Go ahead, Jesus. Jesus.
Me.
Jesus.
Cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy, holy like you.
That's it. Go ahead. Oh, Jesus.
Wanna be holy, holy like you. I wanna be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me, cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy. Holy like you. Wanna be holy. Holy like you. I wanna be holy. Holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me. Cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me. Cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy, holy.
Come on, come on. There's a world calling. There's a world pulling, but come on, you don't have to go that way.
Holy, holy.
Tell the Lord, I yield to you, God. I submit to you, God. Tell the Lord, I wanna be saved. I wanna be holy. I want to be right with you. That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Holy Spirit,
take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Oh, cleanse and make me new. Want to be holy, holy like you. Want to be holy, holy like you. Want to be holy. Holy like you. Holy Spirit, pure. cleanse and make me new. I wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me. Oh, cleanse and make me new. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit, purify me. Oh, cleanse and make me new. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy.
Come on, let's pray, church. There are needs here in this altar tonight. God, we need your touch. God, we need your touch. My God, we need your touch. We need your touch. We need your touch. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's touch the Lord tonight. Let's touch the Lord tonight.
Wanna be holy, holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit.
Oh God, we need you right now. We need your touch tonight, Jesus.
Wanna be holy.
Oh, come on, church. Let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord tonight. Come on, don't be foolish. Don't turn your back on what you've heard tonight. If you do, you're foolish. You're foolish. You don't have all the answers. You don't have it all figured out. There's only one that's got it figured out for you, and that's God. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Oh, yes, Jesus, we lean on your presence tonight. Yes, Jesus, we lean on your presence tonight, oh God. We need your touch tonight, Jesus. Oh, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God.
Holy like you.
Yes, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, this is the time to touch the Lord. Tonight's the time to get a hold of God. We lean on you tonight, Jesus. We lean on you tonight, Jesus. Oh God, we lean on you tonight. We're leaning on you. We're desperately in need of help. We need your help and your touch. We need your help and your touch, Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead, pour it out to God. Pour it out to God. Pour it out to God.